Replay, reflect, believe. More of God's Word for walking in faith every day of the week.
We pray that you are inspired to read the scripture further and to continue attending your local church. When in Philadelphia, you're welcome to join us for worship at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121, Sundays at 11 a.m. Now it's time to enjoy today's message.
Lord, saints, greetings to all and welcome to all that are here in the sanctuary, all that are on Facebook and YouTube. Praise God. My prayer is that we'll all be blessed for having been intentional in our desire to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. May the Lord faithfully abide with us and do as he intended to do today. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Our Father and our Provider, we shout praise to your name and celebrate you in all the earth. Lord, you are wonderful and worthy of our praise. Take hold of our hearts, O Lord.
Yes.
Forgive us of our faults and build us up to be sent forth into the world.
Yeah.
Allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and for your word to be truth upon our lips. You are our rock and our shelter,
yes, thank
a place of rest in our time of need.
Yes.
Take this service into your hands and bring glory to your name.
Hallelujah.
We love you, O Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll turn with me now in your Bible or your Bible app, we'll find ourselves today in the text found in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Amen. So that's the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. We'll be down at verses 40 to 43. And just for a short side in the New Testament, we'll drop in Revelation 21. Verses 3 and 4. Amen?
Amen.
So Leviticus, the 23rd, the 40th to the 43rd reads, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate in the seventh month. Verse 42, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God." In Revelation, the 21st chapter, the third verse reads as such, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Amen. You may be seated. Saints of God, for the time that we spend together this morning, I'd like to ask you this question and speak from the same subject. Are you standing in the field or are you resting in the booth? Prayerfully, you'll get it before the sermon's over. Are you standing in the field or are you resting in the booth? Praise God. Listen, as I read through the scripture from Leviticus regarding the Feast of Booths, and your version may say the Feast of Tabernacles. As I read, I began to think of it similar to the way that we think of Thanksgiving. The Feast of Booths originated a long time ago, going back to Exodus 23, when sometimes it was referred to as the Feast of the Harvest or the Feast of the Ingathering, because they would come in from the fields, and it was held at the end of the harvest year. It's referenced in several places in the Bible, including Numbers 29, Deuteronomy 16, Hosea 12 and 9. Even in the New Testament, we find it referenced in John chapter 7, when Jesus allows his brothers to go to the feast while he remained in Galilee, and then he joined them a little while later. It's the food, the fellowship, the rejoicing, and the gratitude that reminded me of what we have been taught regarding the celebration of Thanksgiving in our country. Now, the Feast of Booths takes place at a different time of year than our national pastime, but it is representative of the completion of the harvest season and a time for giving thanks. Going back to the text at Leviticus 23, the 39th verse reads, "Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days." And we see here the emphasis of the harvest timing. And regardless of the amount, there was a set aside time for giving thanks. Amen. It didn't matter if it was a good year or a bad year. It didn't matter if the harvest was large or small. There was a set aside time for giving thanks. God is blessing us in the field. For Israel, the work in the field was often far from home, even a 3 days journey. But they were expected to work the land and gather the produce it delivered to them. Amen. You might want to take note of the process. Work the land and gather the fruit. Amen.
Amen.
That's how the harvest comes. Work the land and gather the fruit. However, at the time of the feast, at the time of the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, it was mandatory that you would come out of the field and return to the temple. The Feast of Booths was one of three feasts where attendance was mandatory. Amen. So what we're noting here in this 39th verse is that there was mandatory attendance. If we continue to read that verse, it says, "On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest." And by Sabbath rest, they meant that this was a holy rest, a time of reflection, and it was mandatory rest. Amen? So you've got mandatory attendance, then you have mandatory rest. And this isn't rest where you're laying down on the couch, kicking up your feet. But this was holy rest, a time of reflection, and it was mandatory. You might be right there with the sermon already. You see, Israel, they were blessed in the city and they were blessed in the field. But no matter what the status of the harvest, they were expected to be together on these days of consecration and to participate in a holy rest. This rest, this reflection, they're coming together, and it was congregational gratitude for how God had delivered their people a long time ago. God's still blessing them in their hand, in their homes, in the work of their hands, and has set aside some time to abide with his people every generation. You see, God made it mandatory. He made mandatory attendance, but God was faithful. Generation after generation, when they would attend, he would be faithful to meet them in the tabernacle. And he still meets Israel in their booths today. God was faithful to his participation. He didn't miss a festival. Amen. And with it, he brought his strength to uplift us and give us peace. Verse 40 begins to describe the making of the booths, also called tents or tabernacles. It reads, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. Here we see the booths were made of branches and the large leaves of the palm tree. The booths were simple, easy to put together and easy to break down, representative of a time in the wilderness when the people of Israel were totally dependent on God and had to be ready to move when he directed. These booths, these tents, they weren't made by strong construction materials, but they were strong by God who dwelt with them in the booth and was their protection and their covering. Listen, when we think of the homes over the years that we have spent Thanksgiving, many of them were not magnificently built with treasured wood and marble and stone. However, we remember these homes where the presence of the Lord was strong and we felt protected, covered, and loved. It wasn't the size of the home, but it was the size of the faith we witnessed in the people who hosted us, the community who thanked God for every day and every harvest, no matter the year or the amount that was produced. Amen. So we're finding here that we have mandatory attendance and mandatory rest. God is faithful to dwell with us as our covering. And verse 40 continues by saying, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
Amen.
Amen. For Israel, the Feast of Booths is a national day of rejoicing. So we now have mandatory attendance, mandatory rest, and now we're coming to mandatory rejoicing. And it's similar to the way in our country many things are shut down on the fourth Thursday of November every year because it is a national day of thanks. And listen, my heart is that we all find something to be thankful for on this upcoming Thanksgiving. But I'm also old enough and seasoned enough to know that while many will rejoice, it's hard for others to share in the celebration, and even harder when you may tell them, hey, rejoicing is mandatory. In fact, for many in our nation, this fourth Thursday isn't even known as the day of rejoicing, but rather as a national day of mourning. You see, the indigenous people or original inhabitants of this land mourn on this fourth Thursday because of pain and injustice that remains with them even until this day. The ground that we stand on in Philadelphia is God's land. There's no doubt about that. And for many generations, it was cared for by the Lenape Nation, who were the original inhabitants before settlers arrived from a foreign land. And listen, we can invite them to our feast, but we must remember also that they bring with them pain and mourning. Reading through history caused me to compare the joy that we might have when we're witnessing to others and testifying to those who are outside these walls. We're telling them about the goodness of Jesus and how our lives have been changed since we received his free gift of salvation. We are full of joy, but we must also realize that we are sometimes asking quite a bit of others who have not yet received the same joy.
Yes.
They haven't received the same gift. They're still afar off in the field. Yet we're asking them to move beyond their pain, their perception, and their personal history. And we do know as Christians, we know these to be strongholds of the enemy, but they're also very real and very near to those whom we may be witnessing to. And so if we are to communicate the gospel message outside of these walls, then we must be sure that we communicate our own strongholds and describe our own miry pit, our own slavery from which we have been delivered. You see, when others can see what Christ has done for us, when they can see our own healing, our restoration, listen, when they can see our scars and then learn of our hope, then we can pray for the Holy Spirit to open their hearts to the truth that we found in Christ Jesus. Think of it like this. When we get to verse 41, it reads, "You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. The feast was generational. It reads that it should take place forever. Those who would witness the feast from the outside world were not only expected to see the harvest, but they were to see the booths. They were to see the place where Israel, where you and I are totally dependent on God. They should witness you and I as we were in the wilderness, depending and holding to our only refuge. We rejoice because a loving God delivered us from our bondage and has been faithful to remain with us generation after generation. Even to this day, Israel builds the booths for all of us to see. And so remember, I'm asking again this morning, are you still standing in the field or are you resting in the booth? Listen, people are going to be asking you for the next 11 days, are you ready for Thanksgiving? Where are you going? What are you preparing? How do you usually celebrate? And our minds are going to go to a full to-do list. Amen? We begin calling family and friends. We start to get rushed. We start to get overwhelmed. Sometimes we get burdened. But again, I'm still asking, are you standing in the field? Or are you resting in the booth? If you're not yet feeling like rejoicing, consider this. Rejoicing comes in the process. You got to go. Rejoicing comes when we participate in mandatory attendance. Rejoicing comes when we participate in mandatory rest. Listen, rejoicing comes when we create a space for God, a booth, a tabernacle, a place in our hearts for reflection. We have to make room for God to come in. Rejoicing comes when we experience the presence of Almighty God. Rejoicing comes in the process. You see, mandatory attendance, I told you before, when God is on the invitation list, we must meet him at the designated gathering place. We must meet him because God is faithful. He will not miss out. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He will be there where he told us he would be. Mandatory rest, rejoicing comes from that. The work is completed. Listen, the work must be completed before the celebration. Amen. Listen, when we gather for fellowship in the house of God, All the busy work should have already been completed.
Amen.
You may have ministry here at the church, but don't come on Sunday to work. Complete that work before Sunday. And when you walk through the doors, your work is set down. Your work is set aside and you're beginning to leave everything at the altar of the Lord. It is our place of rest and it is our place of surrender. Glory be to his name. Rejoicing comes in the process when we sit in this building. Whether we sit in a pew over here or we sit in a chair downstairs, it is our sanctuary. It is a space. It is a booth for us. It is a place where God can reach us, where we have room for reflection and the presence of the Lord can dwell and abide in us. Right where we sit, we are covered, protected, safe, provided for. We leave our problems at the altar and we make room for God to dwell with us. Listen, tell your neighbor it's time to make room. We can make that turkey later, but we got to make some room. Glory to his name. We can't rush through the 11 days and try to have thanks on one Thursday. But what if we rise up in the morning and give thanks to God for yet another day? What if we might do it for the next 11 days? How would we walk down into that Thanksgiving table? Glory to his name. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't feel nothing yet. Maybe Thanksgiving is not for me. Maybe your mind is already back on all of the work that you left in the field. But I'm just trying to tell you, if you made it to this booth today, if you'll just hang out for a little bit longer, the word of the Lord says this in verse 42, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. And he says to them then and says to us now, I am the Lord your God. Give glory to his name. He knows how we are in our humanity.
Yes.
But he instructs us to stay in the booth, hang in there for several days. We've got to stay in the booth until we've experienced the presence of God for ourselves. Church, are you standing in the field?
Yes.
Or are you resting in the booth? We can be so focused on a mission, so focused on our to-do list, that if we're not called into mandatory worship, listen, there's somebody you need to go grab, physically grab their arm, and you need to bring them into worship. They need you to do that for them because they're stuck in the field. But if we don't ever come out of the field, if we're too busy, and again, not because we don't care about worship, but it's sometimes because we're so focused on kingdom business. Glory to his name. Working on taking dominion over earthly things. We're kingdom minded, but our spirit is still out in the field. We want to please God, but we're spiritually afar off. And even when God reveals to us his power to prosper us, we risk keeping our hand on the wheel without experiencing and enjoying his presence. I don't know how many of you may take long trips for Thanksgiving, but I grew up in the back of the station wagon, and that was back before some of these seatbelt laws. And how many of you know if you were a kid in the back of the station wagon that you had all that room to move around Amen. You didn't know nothing about what was going on, and you were just a passenger, just enjoying yourself. And you could do that because you didn't have your hand on the wheel.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But sometimes we're older now, and so we've gotten used to operating the wheel so much so that when God wants to drive, we don't move over into the passenger seat and just enjoy what he wants to do for us.
Yes.
Glory to his name. God is calling us to the passenger seat. He's calling us out of the field. He's calling us in from places where we're spiritually afar, and he's commanding worship, praise, fellowship, and rest. And I know that sometimes, listen, sometimes we might be in the field and it's not even our choice. We might be stuck. We might be bound in the field, unable to get by obstacles that are in our way. Health problems are blocking our path. Bills and debt are blocking our path. Transportation and timing are blocking our path. We may have been told by others that we belong out there in the field. Somebody told us we might need to stay out there. Told us we're not welcome in the booth. Maybe even we used to go home, but we messed up last time, and we're not sure if we can make it back. It's just been so long. It's been so long, and now we're lost. We don't even know if there's someone there that wants to celebrate with us. We're lost. We're way out in the field, wandering in the wilderness. But blessed be to God, who desires that none of us be lost, but God desires that we return to him. So I tell you now, church, the doors of the church are open. And they remain open because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of rest and surrender. And although we're not here 7 days a week, today we have prepared a time and a place around this altar for your salvation, for your rest and your restoration. I know some may still be in the field. You know God and you believe, but have you tried resting in him? Have you tried abiding in him? You said, my flesh just isn't holding up. I fell short. But the Apostle Paul addressed that too. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he said, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home, talking about this body, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent, in this body, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Paul is pointing us to the hope we have in Christ Jesus, that this home, this body, this gathering place that we have on earth is but temporary, but that because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we now have access to eternal rest in heavenly places. So Revelation 21 told us, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Yes, yes.
Church, are you standing in the field?
Well.
Or are you resting in the booth? Today is the day to come in. Come in from the field. Enter the booth and into the presence of Almighty God. Jesus Christ has atoned for our sins, our faults, our wrongdoings. And he has prepared a feast for us in the presence of Almighty God. He has prepared a place of rest and invited you and I to the table. Will you come? Will you receive the invitation of the Lord? Come in from the field just as you are. Glory to his name. The doors of the church are open. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to say hello to your pastor for us. And if you're looking for a church fellowship in Philadelphia, we'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121.
More information is online at opendoorbaptistphilly.com and Instagram at opendoorbaptistphilly. Until next week, stay encouraged and always remember, God loves you.